Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tonight, yes, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and Host, Brother James Brown Jr. Tonight is Saturday night, November the 30th. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong date. The devil is a lie. Today is Saturday, December the 2nd. Please excuse me. I got excited about my guest on tonight. I know that God is going to use him on tonight mightily. Yes, you are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. Again, we come to you every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. I'm asking all listeners, if you would please pass the word on tonight. My special guest is coming on for the first time. And he's going to be sharing some information that all of our young people need to hear, even some of our older people need to hear, and we'll be blessed by this man of God who's going to be coming forth very shortly, sharing his information regarding his first book that the Lord has blessed him to write. And it's already on the bestsellers list at Amazon. So I am excited for what the Lord is doing in his life, and I'm looking forward to sharing this worldwide platform with him on tonight. So as we always do, we always open up in prayer. So we're going to do the same thing tonight. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go into prayer with me at this time. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. It is in that name that we come today, Heavenly Father, giving you praise, glory, and honor because of who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy toward each one of us. We know that we are not worthy of it. We don't deserve it, but we are grateful for them both in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come right now lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. You know who they are and where they are. So we ask that you would continue to move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver as only you can. For we know that your word is true, and we stand on your word that lets us know that we are already healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we also come lifting up all those that have been affected by the hurricanes and tsunamis and floods and tornadoes, even our young people and even older people that are being harassed and bullied on today. You know every situation, Heavenly Father. There's nothing that goes on that you're not aware of. So we just thank you for who you are. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, that you would move by your spirit, touch the hearts and minds of those that have lost loved ones, comfort and strengthen their hearts on tonight. Let them feel your presence. We know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you would move by your spirit on tonight through this worldwide platform. Help us to decrease so that you may be increased through us. For we realize and we know that it's not about us. It's about you. It's about your son, Jesus Christ. It's about souls being saved. So we pray, Lord, that you would just move by your spirit through your man of God, through author William Brooks on tonight. Have your way in his life. Continue to bless him. Continue to lead and guide him in the way that you will see and know that's best for him, that he will be able to complete and fulfill his God purpose in the earth, is our prayer. And, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and lift up all doors that's going to be opened in Jesus' name on tomorrow all over the land. It's our prayer, Lord, that you will move by your spirit, anoint each vessel, even on tonight, that's going to stand before your people and preach and teach your word on tomorrow, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up, strengthened, and edified, is our prayer in Jesus' name. We just give your name praise, glory, and honor because of who you are, is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are touching and agree with this prayer said amen. Well, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and this always includes myself when I say our spiritual food for thought, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. But you know what we have to do? We have to forgive them anyway. Once again, our tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, people are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered, but we must forgive them anyway. I have two announcements that I'd like to make before I bring my guests forward. The two announcements that I'm making tonight are in reference to New St. Paul Church of God in Christ. They have an upcoming play, which will be taking place on Saturday, December the 16th at 6:30 p.m. Bishop Brooks is the pastor there. The church is located off of the South Fair Freeway. Again, they have an upcoming play, which will be taking place on Saturday, December the 16th, 2017. And this play is... And the subtitle is, Lord, I Keep Doing Wrong When I Want to Do Right. Again, it will be taking place on Saturday, December the 16th, 2017, at New St. Paul Tabernacle Church of God in Christ Gymnasium. The address is 15340 Southfield Drive. That's between Finkel and Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Also, that same night, the Hope United Methodist Church will be presenting their second annual fundraiser. And this they included will be a three-course dinner and a hit stage play titled Pains of the Past. Again, this will be also taking place on Saturday, December the 16th, 2017 at 6:30 p.m. The church address is located at 26275 Northwestern Highway. They are also located in Southfield, Michigan. In order to purchase tickets, you can dial area code 313-288-0029, or you can go to the website www.positivespades.org. Those are my announcements that I have for tonight, and I do pray that you are those of you that are in the Detroit, Michigan area, and if you're able to participate in these upcoming events, please do so and be a blessing to the body of Christ. Well, again, I am so excited for my guest on tonight. This is his first time being on. And I know that he's going to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And why I'm saying that? Because I have read some of his book. And what an awesome book it is. So right now, I am getting ready to introduce to my worldwide listeners for the very first time, author William Brooks out of Kathy, he's from Kathy, I'm looking right at it, Texas. There we go, Kathy, Texas. Is my special guest on tonight. Brother Brooks, I am so excited to have you on tonight as my guest. And what I would like for you to do on tonight, if you could please take a moment and share with the worldwide listeners, if you could share with us a testimony first.
Absolutely, brother. First of all, I want to thank you for having me. And small correction, because I couldn't let it go by without saying anything to the beautiful, wonderful people of Katy, Texas. One of the most beautiful cities that I've had the pleasure to live in. So thank you, and thank you for having me on the show. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak to your listeners and to share a small testimony about myself. I come from Detroit. I'm originally from the east side of Detroit, Michigan, born and raised. Thank God, you know, to be alive. Been through a lot in my own personal life, my own personal journey. And when God shows you himself, there is no fear involved in your life. You know, faith becomes not something that you have. Faith becomes something that you are. And just a small testimony as to why I have no fear in my life whatsoever of anything. I can remember at the age of 21, I almost lost my life, you know, out with a friend of mine, and ran into a situation on the west side of Detroit near Grand River and Greenfield, if you know anything about that area, back in 1991, giving my age away here, and had a confrontation in a gas station, just to kind of, you know, summarize. And there was a fight ensued, and I had to flee the situation. And running across the street from the situation, I was shot at by three different individuals that were no further than maybe, I want to say, 15 to 20 steps behind me, to the point where I could literally hear the bullets passing my ears. I could see the bullets hitting the grass, hitting the dirt in front of me. And in my mind, I had determined that no matter what, if I die, I'm going to die running. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to look back, but I'm going to die running. And there's a thing that you always hear. You see your life flash before your face. My daughter was very young at the time. My oldest daughter, who is now 27, was a little bit over a year old. And I saw flashes of my daughter. Saw my grandmother, who had taught me so much and groomed me so well. Just saw different things in my life that I had saw, you know, in my teen years. And I just kept running. And these bullets were passing my head. And I ended up running into a backyard with a dog, a big pit bull dog. And I ran in the yard. And before the dog realized I was in the yard, I was like on the flip side of the gate running down the driveway. And I remember the dog not chasing me, but the dog went back to the alley part of the gate and was jumping up and was barking at the guys that were pursuing me, shooting at me. And I looked back and the guys turned around and they went on. They ran on away from the yard. I went in a local nightclub where, of course, I was out of breath and had run out of one of my sneakers and my hat had come off my head. And I just remember asking for change and tried to make a phone call. And it was like a Friday, Saturday night. So, of course, people were coming in and flocking in. There were ladies in line trying to get in this club. And I just remember all these individuals just handing me change. I probably had about $10 in quarters because I was just trying to make a phone call. And I knew that night that God had something special for me, because there is absolutely, positively no reason that I did not lose my life that night. And ever since that night, I've always known that God has something incredibly important for me to accomplish on my journey here in life. And all I can say, brother, is here I am.
Praise the Lord. What an awesome testimony. See, that is the reason why, for the first-time listeners, this is the reason why I asked all of my first-time guests to share testimonies. God gets glory out of our testimonies. He said he would share his glory with no one. And what the enemy was trying to do to you, Brother Brooks, he was trying to take you out before you can realize who Jesus was and before you can realize what your God purpose was. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to stop you and block you and take you out. But God, by the grace of God,
absolutely,
he intervened, even through the dog. The dog even had enough sense that he blocked even the people that were shooting at you. Now, you know that was God intervening on your behalf. So here we are today, and look what God has done. Exactly. So, well, it goes back to the Bible days about how the exactly, and it goes back to the Bible days how the Lord used the donkey, you know, to speak, and the Lord here used whatever or whoever he has to use to get the job done. And that's exactly what he did. So for your testimony, we are so grateful that the Lord allowed you to still be here in the land of the living so that you will be able to complete and fulfill your God purpose, even through this, your first book that we're about to discuss very shortly. I thank God that you are still here in the land of the living, and you are an awesome, man of God. You are a motivator. You are a mentor. And that's what the enemy already knew, and he was trying to block it. But God, by his grace, you are still here. So we're going to go right into your questions, Brother Brooks, right now. My first question to you is, why should young men, first of all, I would like to let the listeners know, we have not stated to them what the title of your first book is. The book of Brother William Brooks, his book title is The Three No's Every Successful Man Should Know. Once again, his book is titled The Three No's Every Successful Man Should Know. And so that's the title of his first book. And again, it's already on the Amazon's bestsellers list. So we know that it's nobody but God. So I pray that the listeners, if you have young people around you, please have them tune in and tune their ear in very close so they can hear what this man of God is about to say. Not only for young people, I know that this can be a blessing to the older people too, men, women, boys, and girls alike around the world. My first question to you is, why should young men put Christ first place in their lives?
Well, absolutely. Without Christ being first place in your life, you have absolutely no knowledge of who you are. You gain your knowledge of who you are through knowing who Christ is. Christ gives you your identity. There is no identity of yourself without knowing him first. And once you tune into Christ, then you know all your abilities. You know everything that you came here for. You know what you came to do. And there's absolutely nothing outside of yourself that can stop you from coming to fulfill everything that you came to fulfill. See, we all have a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all came here to do something. We all have individual abilities. We all are special people. But what happens is, along our course through the vicissitudes of life and things that come, we lose focus of who we are. And then we now become what life tells us we are based on our circumstances. But once you line your life up with Christ and what your purpose is, then you learn who you are. And when you get that shaking, when you get that rattling, and you find out exactly who you are and what you came here to do, there's absolutely nothing outside of you that can stop you. So that's why it's very important. It is paramount, and know who they are through Christ, because through knowing that, you know who you are. And outside of that, you're just walking around groping as a blind man.
Wow. And that is a fact. I can really agree with that. And I know people, I see people all the time, every day, and it's a sad situation that people walk around the earth every day, even some people that are older in their 80s and 70s, they do not even know why they are here. It's like their mind is gone. They're just in a trance, and they're just walking around not knowing what their purpose is. And so God has, like you said, God has a purpose for each one of our lives, and he wants these young men, these young women to know their God purpose, and that's what the enemy does. He comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to kill and destroy marriages, families, relationships, ministries. He have no shame. So I just thank God for you, for what you are doing, and the best is yet to come for you. And I do want to get right into this next question, which is, why was it so important for you to write this type of book as a first-time author?
Well, that book had been in my mind, if I can give a little background, that has been in my mind for maybe the past a year and a half. And it was important because of, once you read the book and you understand, you know, and not to give the book away, because I want people to actually go and read the book, but to just give you a little insight, you know, the three no's that every successful young man should know. There are three things that happens in a young man's life. Three things that happen. By the time a young man is 22 years old, he's either done one of three things. He's either got a child support case, he's had a baby, and he's not married, and he's dealing with that. He's dealing with that money coming out of his check that's going to stress out his life. He either has some type of criminal record that may be associated with a felony, or he has ruined his credit completely. Once a young man has done that, he has made things rough in his life. And I have spoken to so many young men. I walk up to young men that are 15, 16 years old, and I ask them, what is a felony? They have absolutely no idea. They've never even heard that term, some of them. So how do you go to school? How do you go to high school for 4 years where you taught math, science, and social studies, but nobody ever mentions to you what a felony is? But yet, when you go fill out an application for a job, on the back of that application, we all know, the first thing they ask you, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And unfortunately, a lot of young men, by the time they get to that portion of the application, they've already been convicted of a felony. And a portion of my book, I go into it, I make a vast statement, and I say, what you do not know can destroy your future. So if you don't know these things, if no one's ever has ever outlined this for you, then you don't know, and then you walk into it, and then it's too late. So for me, I felt it was not only my duty but my calling, and I thank God that I've never been in a situation where I have a felony. I want to make that clear. I never got a felony on my record, and I thank God for that. However, when I was young, you know, I had a child very young, and it caused me a lot of setbacks in life financially. And I never wanted this to happen to any young man just because he did not know. So walking around this information in my head, and these are things that I talked about. I'm a barber as well by trade. When I was a barber in Atlanta, Georgia, and I would have young men in my chair, I would have these type of conversations, and I would talk about this. And I said, you know, I can't go to my grave and not leave this information within the confines of a book where not just this generation, but generations to come can now look back and they can read this information and share it with their children and grandchildren. I have daughters, and I want my daughters to eventually grow up and marry successful men that not only know how to take care of themselves, but can be good husbands for them. So for me writing this book, that's a contribution for me to help mold and groom some young man that may read my book that may end up marrying one of my daughters. So it was paramount that I put this information that I've been walking around with for so long within the confines of a book. So I sat down one day and I put it together, brother, and I'm just praying that God uses me. He gets this book not only around the United States but around the globe because people need this information. Young people are perishing just simply because they just don't know. You have a lot of women that are single mothers that are going to work. There are some working two jobs, going to school, trying to make ends meet for their children, and they just don't have time for these type of conversations. So I wrote the book as a conversation piece where they can give it to their sons, even their daughters, and say, hey, you read chapter one, and we'll talk about chapter one this week, and so on and so forth. So my whole purpose is really, brother, to save lives. I just want to take the information that I have, and if I can save a young brother's life from making mistakes and help him to grow into the best person that he could possibly be the best father that he could possibly be for his children, the best husband that he could possibly be for his wife, then that's my purpose, and keep him off the child support system because men were created to make families, not to create debt.
Amen. I could not have said it any better. And, you know, this all goes back to what the Word of God says. My people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And that is a part of the problem. And it goes back to, again, the enemy. He knows exactly what he's doing. I thank God that God has all power in his hand. He is in total control, no matter what it looks like. Because, again, it goes back to what the enemy does. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to destroy our young men, even our young women, before they come to the knowledge of who God is and who Jesus is and be saved in Jesus' name. And then he also don't want them to know what their God purpose is so that they cannot fulfill their God purpose in the earth. So we thank God for you, Brother Brooks, for allowing God to use you to write such a book for such a time as this. Again, I like what you just said. And this book not only applies to young men, but it applies to young women as well, and not just in America, but around the world. So I thank God for you, and I know that this book is going to be a blessing to anyone and everyone that takes the time out to read it. And my next question to you is, what is your expectations or goals of this book? You more or less already stated it, but if you could.
Well, just to expound upon that, I expect this book to sell well over 1 million copies. And let me make this clear. We are so used to hearing people say things like that, and they say it from an aspect or a standpoint, if you will, of making money. I have bills. I have a family. But I don't care about money. I go to work to make money because I have bills. I don't really care about material things like that. I really don't. I feel like a man's purpose is not what he can amass on a material level for himself, but what he can leave for other people once he's gone. So for me, I see this book going around the globe. I see it blessing families. I see it in educational institutes. And I see young men's lives being changed. The information that I put in this book is information that I had to mature into and being able to write. I couldn't have written a book like this 20 years ago. I had to go through certain things in my life and see certain things and make those mistakes. And being able to do this, it healed a lot of things in my own personal life. And like I said, once again, not to give the book away. Once you get the book in your hand and you read it and you understand, cover, you see this brother that's on the cover. It took years for me to be that brother that you see on the cover because I was a wounded person. And to be able to deliver this type of information, it was a transition and something, a metamorphosis that the almighty power of God had to take me through. And so it's bigger than me, brother. It's way bigger than me, brother James Brown. It was God. And I know where he's going to take it. It has absolutely nothing. All I needed to do was write it. When I sat down and wrote it, I didn't have to think about anything. And at times I couldn't type as fast as the information was coming to my mind. And I made many mistakes, which took me weeks to edit the book. I edited the book myself because I didn't want someone else to put in the commas and the periods where they wanted to put it. I wanted the book to be read in the energy that I wrote it in. So I took my time and edited the book. And I know that it is going to change not only lives around the globe as far as young men, it's going to change the way that single mothers or mothers that may be in new relationships with men that they might not have that first child with, it's going to change their relationship with their sons and daughters and make sure that, you know what, it's okay to move on and have families, but make sure that that child that's not a part of that second family, make sure that that child is included. Make sure that child is shown the same love. Make sure that the child is shown the same understanding and wisdom and support, because the first woman that a young man falls in love with is his mother. So it is very, very important that that relationship is strong, because he's only going to go as far as that woman encourages him. So I know, brother, this book is going to change the world. And not just because I wrote it. If someone else wrote it and I read it, I'd say, man, this book here is awesome. I'm just humbled that God used me to do it.
Amen. And I like what you said. And this goes back to what the Word of God says. God is faithful to watch over his word. He says that he will give us the desires of our hearts. And he knows that you are what you're doing. And he knows that you know that it is not all about money, but it's you're doing it for a purpose. And that if only one life can be saved or helped through this book, that is your game. That is your aim and purpose. So through that, now that you requested it out of your own mouth, said that it's going to be a million bookseller, that's exactly what the Lord would do. He would do that. I am a witness as what God can do. So we have to realize, people of God, that our words do have power. So right now I'm going to go into my music break, and we're going to come back with Brother Williams following this music break, and we're going to conclude with some more questions for him on tonight. I am so excited once again to have first-time author William Brooks. He is the author of the book titled The Three No's Every Successful Man Should Know. And again, it's available at Amazon.com. So if it's not available right now, it will be soon available. And I'm sure that you can get it through the ebooks and download it that way so that you can start reading the book. You will truly be blessed by this book. Anyone that read it will be truly blessed by this book. So right now, we're going to go into our music break, and I will be back shortly with the other final questions for Brother Williams on tonight. Be blessed.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Choir 60 Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody going to get it out there.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The blessings of Abraham is all on your life. That's why he tried to do everything in his power to stop the young people. He do not want them to realize that they are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Once they're saved in Jesus' name, they become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and they become seeds of Abraham. And so God has a promise for us that we are blessed to be a blessing to everyone around us. So right now, I pray that you was blessed by that song. That song kind of ties in with our guest on tonight and the book and the purpose of his book. Once again, it's titled The Three No's Every Successful Young Man Should Know. And with us on tonight, which again is Saturday night, December the 2nd, 2017, on the show titled Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God? We are coming back with Brother William Brooks, the author of this great book. Brother Williams, as we go back into the questions on tonight, my next question to you is, do you think society has set up our young men and women to fail or end up as misfits or in prisons, or do you think it's a combination?
Absolutely. Once again, I want to speak to this felony situation. And that was probably, if not the most powerful of the three no's that I wrote about. You know, once you get this book, and once again, I don't want to give my book away too much, but I love young people so much, I got to tell you. A lot of young people don't even know, once again, what felonies are. So I did the homework for you, okay? I went in the book and I wrote exactly what a felony is. I list certain felonies and I list the time to go along with it, so these young men would know exactly what's going on. So back to education. You go to high school, 4 years, math, science, social studies, all these electives that they make, you have to pass government and certain classes, get out of high school, but nobody teaches you about what a felony is. But yet, once again, it's the first thing you see on a job application once you flip that application. So I have a nagging suspicion in my mind that someone wants you to have a felony, because why would the education system make certain things, you know, you have to pass certain classes to get out of high school, but I'm not going to teach you. Like, what does it matter if you get a 4.0, but yet you get a felony as soon as you get out of high school? So basically you wasted all that time, because now you're struggling to get a job. Some places won't give you car insurance. Some places won't rent to you. So you're setting a young person up for failure. But yet when you enter the prison system, which I might add, you know, a lot of the corporate work is coming out of the prison system. So it's to somebody's benefit. for you to go to prison. I say all the time, if you have some spare time, listeners, go to OTIS, Offender Tracking Information Systems, if you're in Detroit. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that. And just go type in the last name Johnson and go put in age 18 to 25. Type that in there because anybody can go on that site and you would be dumbfounded. You would be amazed to see how many young people are in prison, some 20 years, 30 years, some for life. Why? Because what they didn't know destroyed their future. Nobody told them. See, I've been arrested before for, you know, something petty, driving without a license, driving for suspended license tickets back in the day when I was in my early 30s. And I would sit in jail with a lot of these young people. And I can remember an occasion, there was a couple young guys in there. They were like 17, 18. I think they had robbed the rallies back in the day. It was the rallies in Detroit. And they got caught with the keys to the place. They had the videotape, money. They got caught with everything. And these guys were sitting up in jail saying they were waiting on their $200 bail money. They were going to bail out for $200. They had absolutely no idea of what type of trouble they were in because, unfortunately, a lot of these guys, they have never been arrested before. These young people never been in jail before for anything. So when they do get arrested, it's for something so drastic that they may never come home because they've never been exposed to that system. They have no idea what they were in there for. So once again, that was my purpose of writing that piece of the book because I want to educate every young person on the ramifications of their actions. And just because you don't know, that judge is not going to show you any mercy. And if you're 17 years old.
In other words, there's consequences that you're going to pay.
Absolutely. If you're 17 years old.
Whether you knew or not.
You could commit a crime, and they'll put you in a jail cell with somebody 45 years old. And guess what? That person is 45, 50 years old that you're in a jail cell with, they can care less that you're 17.
Wow.
That's scary.
Yes, it is.
That's scary. So wow. I felt it my duty to put that information out here. And once again, I speak to the point that there are a lot of single mothers, God bless their heart, you know, out here trying to raise kids by themselves. And Lord knows that's a tough job to be a single mother. There's no father around. And in my generation, you know, when I came up, if there were no fathers around, there were at least uncles around. There was some male figure to point you in the right direction, give you some type
of
information.
That's right.
The time we live in now, the homes are void of some male role model. The male role models now for these children are these rappers that are making videos from prison out on the yard on the picnic table glamorizing, you know, the jail life. But ironically, when any of them get arrested in real life, they're trying to get bailed out real quick. So that shows that that's not the route to go. So they're giving these kids a false impression of what jail is. They're glamorizing jail. And I talk about that as well. And I let them know in my book, when the cameras go off, the house goes back to the record company, the car goes back to whoever they rented it from, and a lot of times even the clothes that they have on in the video. It's all an illusion. But you go in the penitentiary for 30 years, no illusion.
Wow. My next question to you, why should young people establish their own life's blueprint?
Well, if you don't have a blueprint for life, you don't know where you're going, then you don't know when something that enters your life, that is going to cause you to deviate from that blueprint. So if you don't sit down and know exactly what I want to do, how I'm going to do it, where am I going to be? I speak to someone that's 14 years old. Let's take someone in the ninth grade. What are you going to do? What is your future? This question is never posed to them. So they should have some form of blueprint. Okay, what am I going to do? Now, how am I going to get there? Who are the people I need to affiliate with to make sure that I can get there? I need to write that down. So I list in the book a blueprint. Okay, what type of friends do you need to have around you that are going to encourage you to stick with that blueprint? What's on the blueprint? Do you have a dream board? Do you have a goal board? And you should write down your goals and give yourself a time frame to reach your goals. Because if you have a goal without a deadline, then that's just a dream. So I list in the book, have a blueprint. Once you have that blueprint, then now you can determine whatever's coming into your life. You can ask yourself, does this fit into my blueprint? Because if you don't have a blueprint, then you can't determine where to put certain things or people that enter into your reality, into your experience. So it's very important for a young person to have a blueprint. You don't wait to become 20, 22 years old to now say, okay, I need to groom myself to be a responsible adult, to be someone's husband, to be someone's father. No, that begins when you're 12, 13 years old and you're grooming yourself to now arrive at that point where you are quality enough to take on a huge responsibility of being someone's husband and being someone's father. But if you don't have a blueprint,
amen,
you don't know where you're going.
In other words,
like
you become you want to be an asset to life. You do not want to be a liability to life or to God.
Absolutely.
Or his kingdom.
My
next question to you is, yes, sir, proper guidance. Why is it necessary to have proper guidance?
If you don't have proper guidance in life, then how do you know where you're going? It's just like having a navigation system, and I was going to speak to that before, in a car. Well, if you don't have the guidance to take you where you're going and know where you're going, how do you know when you end up where you end up? How do you know that that's where you were trying to go? You have to start from somewhere. So you need someone to guide you. And unfortunately, a lot of these children, they don't have proper guidance. The adults that are now parenting children or being the guides for children have not gotten to the point where they can guide themselves. So I have to give a lot of these kids a pass. I mean, a lot of us are on Facebook, and we see what's happening with a lot of adults. You know, we don't know the difference between someone's post that is 47 or someone's post that is 17 or 27. So a lot of these children don't have that proper guidance. So without that, they'll never arrive where they need to arrive. So that is very, very important. And you know what? That's why I wrote the book, because there may be some child that doesn't have any guidance in his life. I used to say when I was a barber in Atlanta, Georgia, and I would talk to the barbers, and I'd say, if you get a young man in your chair, make sure you not only give him a good haircut, give him a good lineup, make sure you say something to him, get in his head. Because you know what? At any given time, you may be the only adult in that child's life that's saying anything positive to them. They
Absolutely.
May go home and
that's
have
right.
a mother, a father, an uncle. They're watching TV. You may be the only person in their life that is saying anything positive. So I never missed an opportunity to not only give a child a good haircut and get in their head that way, I would make sure that I get in their head. So when they walk out of there, they'll say, thank you, Mr. Will.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's what it's all about. I have another question for you. Why do young people need the right tools to make the right decisions?
Well, if they don't have the proper tools, then how do they know what's right and what's wrong? It goes back to the blueprint. You know, you have to have the proper tools. And sometimes the proper tools may not come within your home. And I have a portion of the book where I talk about getting a role model. Sometimes you may need a role model outside of someone that's in your home or your immediate family or your immediate circle. You may be someone, your favorite actor, your favorite basketball player, football player, and find out, well, what do they do? What do they read? Go get books. Find out what type of lifestyle they live. What time do they get up in the morning? What do they eat for breakfast? Learn their life. Find someone successful. That's a proper tool. If you want to be successful, you have to find successful people. And you have to look for that, because it's not going to always be at your fingertips. If you want to be successful, young people, find successful people and follow and mimic what they do. Those are the tools that will get you to where you want to be, because a lot of times it's just not going to fall in your lap. And I talk about that. I say, unlike failure, success is something that you have to work at. You have to cultivate within yourself, because failure will just come. All you have to do is just not do anything, and it's going to happen.
Yeah,
so to get the proper
right.
tools, you have to find the people who have found those tools and mimic what they do, Brother James Brown.
Amen, and that's the truth. I'm a witness to that. And my final question to you on tonight, not having a father figure in the home or a male figure in the home, I personally feel that there is no excuse for young people to go down the wrong path. Some people say that that is an excuse, but I'd use myself and my three brothers as an example. Our mother raised 9 children. Even though my mother and father was married, they separated. My father left us when we was around, I was around 3 years old when he walked out and left us. And my mother raised 9 children by herself with the help of his father, which is my grandfather. And my uncles, even though they was out of town, they was our role models as males. So I personally feel that because you do not have a male figure in the home, that is not an excuse for young people to go down the wrong road. However, on the other hand, even though they don't have the male figure in the house, sometimes they can be in a household with the wrong people that's coming through the doors, and they picking up everything that they do and everything they see that these people that's coming through their house, how they're living, and they don't even know how they earned their money, if they earned it the right way or if they went out and stole it or killed somebody or whatever the case may be. But they want to follow in these people's footsteps, even though they're not related to them. So it all starts in the home, whether you have a father figure there or not. And I do applaud you, the mothers that may be tuned in on tonight. I still thank God for my mother, bless her spirit and memory, how God anointed her and blessed her to raise 9 children alone, and none of us never ended up in jail or on drugs with good jobs. And I just thank God for our mother. But mothers today, they have so much pressure on them when they do not have a male role model in the home, especially for the young men. So it is so important that these young men realize that that's no excuse because you do not have a father in your home or in your household that you can go out and just run the streets and do whatever else that you think you're big and bad enough to do and you think you're going to get away with it. Because just like Brother Brooks said, there are consequences. Whether you know them or not, you will pay a price. And is that something that you're ready to pay for? I think not. So what is your views on that? What I just said, Brother Brooks, regarding a father not in the home is no excuse.
I feel like, brother, it's unfortunate that we have so many homes that there are not fathers that are available, that are there to give that insight, that and it should be there. And not only that they're not fathers, there are very few male figures around at all. And I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, because that's just what's being propagated in the media, that is the reality. You know, there are a lot of homes. Mm-hmm. There are fathers there. There are role models there. There are brothers, there are uncles, there are. But, you know, it's a balance, because we're in yeah. life, and there's balance, okay? Well, I think that the problem that comes in with the young men that unfortunately don't have positive role models, because there are role models that are being given, once again, by the media, that the media knows that this isn't reality. So then there are role models that are given purposely that are not positive. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. because these children don't know who they are, and we'll go back to our first question about knowing who you are in Christ, then they are subsequently looking for their identity through something that is an illusion, looking for their identity. And because the people who control these channels, then they're always feeding a false sense of identity, a false sense of reality. Okay, I don't know who I am. Okay, so then now that's why we have so many children thinking, okay, either I got to be a ball player or I got to be a rapper. Because let's just look at the positive role models that are on TV, or what they deem as positive. When you look at the rappers and you see what? You see money, you see cars, you see what you think is success. So then that's why these children now aspire for these type of positions, because this is what's being fed to them. But they don't know that there are men out here that are doctors, that are successful lawyers, that are successful entrepreneurs, that are successful everything. There are a lot of men out here that are doing well, but that's not being brought forth through the media on a level where
someone
purposely doing that. So it goes back
that's
to
right.
my purpose of my project is to show that, you know what, here's a black man that didn't have a great beginning. But you know what? Because you're not there to write the first chapter in your life, you can always complete the book. It's up to you.
Ooh.
And there is no excuse.
Wow.
Everybody got a story. It's not about what happens to you. It's about what you do after that. And what you have to do is take responsibility for yourself. And I just want to be a contribution to every young man taking responsibility. I want some young man to read my book, Brother Brown, that was going to skip school tomorrow and say, you know what, I'm going to. Or some young man that was going to go and skip and go sleep with some little young woman while her mama was at work and read my book and say, you know what, I ain't going to do that. I just want to be a contribution to something that's great. That's it, brother. That's
Amen.
It.
And you know what, and to be honest with you and to let the listeners know, and from what I've read so far with your book, that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to accomplish everything that you set forth to do. Why? Because God is going to be glorified through it. So that's the whole purpose of it all. First of all, a lot of these young men and some of these young women that are going to be reading your book, they are not saved in Jesus' name. And a lot of them are confused, and the enemy have bamboozled a lot of them, not even the young people, but a lot of the older people. And that's why I'm going to make this statement what I'm about to say now. I've said it before, and it's so important that I must say it again. It's going to kind of tie in with your book, Brother Brooks, on tonight. God is not everyone's father. I'm going to say that again. Somebody asking and saying, what did he just say? I said, God is not everyone's father. However, God is everyone's creator. Young people really need to realize and know that if you're not saved in Jesus' name, if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is the God's son and he died, he paid a price. He paid the ultimate price. He died. He paid his price through his blood for us because of our sins. Why? Because he loved us. And he know that God has a purpose for each one of our lives. So God is not everyone's father. He is everyone's creator. If you are a sinner and you know that you're not saved in Jesus' name on tonight, even for the young people that may be tuning in on tonight as we discuss this book, if you're not saved in Jesus' name on tonight, he know you're not, and you know that you're not. It is so simple. All you have to do is mean it from your heart. Pray, open your mouth, and ask the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, and ask Jesus Christ, his son, to come into your heart and save you. And once he saves you, you will come to know your God purpose, and then you will walk in it, you will live in it, and you will fulfill it in the earth for God's glory. Then, once you're saved in Jesus' name, and then you pray, then you are one of God's children. God becomes your father, but he only hears a sinner's prayer. If you're not saved in Jesus' name, God is not hearing your prayer. He hears your prayers as a sinner and want to be saved in Jesus' name. Then God will hear your prayer. So young people, if you're not saved on tonight, if you want to be saved and you want to fulfill your God purpose and you want to be able to know everything that you need to succeed as a young man or a woman, that what you need to know, then you need to be saved in Jesus' name first, and then God becomes your father, and then he will answer and hear your prayer. So, Brother Brooks, on tonight, I thank God for you. You continue to stay on the wall. You continue to be a blessing, not only to the body of Christ, but to the world through your writing. And I have a feeling that this is your first book. This is only the beginning. I do believe that God has more books in store that he has on the inside of you that are yet to come forth. And so this is your first book. And I just thank God for what he's doing, and the best is still yet to come. So right now, I'm going to give you the opportunity, Brother Brooks, to give any shout-outs at this time, if you would like to give any shout-outs to anyone. Also, if you would like to give the information out, how people can purchase your book, and if they would need you or would like for you to come speak at an engagement, how can you be reached? So this is your opportunity to give your shout-outs and share your book information, your book can be purchased, and how you can be reached.
Before I thank you, brother, I thank you for this opportunity once again. And before I share that information, I want to give a shout-out to first, I'm going to give a shout-out to my queen Melissa. I'm going to give her a shout-out. Mother of my children, my love of my life, I appreciate her. Without her, even this wouldn't be possible. She has encouraged me throughout my years and has just really been instrumental in my life in doing a lot of things for me and helping me become and grow into the man that I am today, and I want to give her that love right now. Secondly, I just want to reach out to a brother that encouraged me Brother Kenny Jones. His brother has been instrumental, has been like with me every step of the way. Actually, I had a conversation with this brother, and I met a brother on Facebook, and we were just talking about public speaking and things of that nature. And this brother here asked me, he said, have you ever thought about writing a book? I said, yeah, I thought about writing a book. He said, well, when you gonna write? I said, I don't know. I was thinking about writing it someday. He said, why not now? And I started writing the book that day. And I want to shout out to that brother. I appreciate him. That brother has a book on Amazon as well, Comeback Season. You might want to go check that out, The Untapped Art of Mastering Your Resilience. Great brother, great book, great testimony, man of God. Go check him out. If you want to get my book, Three No's That Every Successful Young Man Should Know, right now the Kindle is available on Amazon by Monday or Tuesday. I talked to Amazon sometime early next week. That will be available as well, so you can go and get that. If you just want to get a sneak peek in the book, you can go, once again, get the Kindle. You can download it to your phone. But I know a lot of people, if you're old school like me, you want a book in your hand. So certainly, like I said, by Tuesday, sometime early next week, I spoke to them. That will certainly be available. Brother James Brown, I appreciate you once again for giving me this platform, giving me an opportunity to do this. And I love you for that, brother. As far as getting in contact with me, as far as speaking, if you're looking for someone to come into your youth organization, trust me, I have a wealth of information that I can provide. You can reach me by email. You can email me at williambrooks.derekedwardtom, D-E-T, at gmail.com. Email me. I'll get back in contact with you. I'm on Facebook, Instagram as well under William Brooks, and I would love to come speak to your young people. Like I said, please pick up the book. Once you read the book, you understand, and it needs to get in the hands of every young person that's alive right now, because it's some traps and some snares set out here, and God doesn't want your children to fall into those traps and snares, and I'd like to be instrumental in saving those children from doing just that.
Well, I thank you, Brother Williams, on tonight. I'm sorry, Brother Brooks, Brother William Brooks. I thank God for you on tonight. And I know that God is not through with you yet. You continue to be the motivator, the man of God that you are, and the man of God that he has called and ordained for you to be for such a time as this. As long as you continue to stay faithful and humble, you haven't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. So we're just going to continue to give God praise and glory for you and what he's doing in your life. And he promised in his word that he will put great men before you. You don't have to go around searching for anyone. He will send them to you, or he will put you right in front of their face. I'm a living witness, because he's done it for me, and he's still doing it to this very day. So you are a blessing to the body of Christ. Through everything that you do, continue to be the man that God has called you to be. Again, the best is yet to come. Thank you, Brother Brooks. And I thank you for sharing this worldwide platform with me on tonight. And we're going to keep you, the listeners, updated and posted regarding Brother William Brooks' book. So if you do have time and you're available, go to the website starting next week. And if you can go to Kindle now and get a sneak preview, just like you said, through Kindle, and start reading the book. And then once it comes out in the hard copy or the paperback copy, you can get the actual book in your hand through Amazon. So you want to be looking at that. So we thank God for Brother Brooks, and through for Brother Kenny Jones for the connection. So God is glorified on tonight, and I know that the enemy is even more horrified on tonight. So I thank you, my listeners, for tuning in faithfully. Continue to pass the word that we're on every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. And again, tonight's show was kind of different. I know the listeners that tunes in faithfully, they're used to a man or woman teaching or preaching the word of God on tonight. But I try to give everyone an opportunity that I know that are being a blessing to the body of Christ through their books or through their gospel music or whatever is going to be that's going to be positive, that's going to draw people closer to Jesus Christ and get them on the right track. That's what this worldwide platform is set up for, and I thank God for it, because I know that it's not about me, it's not about my guests, but it's about God being glorified through us. So on tonight, as we get ready to close out tonight's program, I thank you for listening in, and as we close out, we always close out in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to say thank you for who you are. We come again to give your name praise, glory, and honor. You are so worthy to be praised. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you're doing in the life of our brother William Brooks and also brother Kenny Jones, we know that the best is yet to come for them. So we ask that you would continue to cover them in the blood of Jesus Christ, because we know that the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. And you have such an anointing on this young man's life, brother William Brooks, that he is a blessing to the body of Christ. And through these books and through this book, the three no's every successful man should know is going to be a blessing. Someone is going to be saved, and someone's life is going to be spared because they took the time to read this book. So we just bless your name on tonight and continue to bless those that are being doers of your word all over the land without hidden motives or agendas is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to be blessed of the Lord on tonight, listeners. Know that God loves you. I love you too. Until the next time, good night.
You clean me up.